Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast. Yo, let's get going out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world. Welcome on in once again, back again. Thank God we are back again to the Sports Buffoon Studios here out of Lenexa, Kansas, of course. We got the full gosh darn group. In fact, I'm just glad it's all three of us back once again here on Wednesday night with you guys. Now, I know we missed last week. Let me go ahead and, you know, recognize the elephant in the room right there. I feel like we owe you a two-hour show tonight, but we're going to still keep it to an hour tonight. We'll make up for it down the road. Don't worry now. But, guys, I'm just glad we're back. We're trying to get back in the saddle here. Back in the saddle. Football season's upon
us. Back at it.
We're getting back in the groove of things. I know guys have had stuff going on. Tanner's been hanging out in Milwaukee.
Yep.
Tell me how that was going.
It wasn't bad at all. Good time. Got to do a little work event as well while I'm up there. Hit a couple games. Got to see some W's from a baseball team as the hottest team in baseball going into this week. So, but it was a good trip. It was good weather after that day I arrived, and I couldn't complain. So,
yeah, it looks like you think Brewers are going to win that division?
I think so. I think the way they're hitting right now, their pitching's looking really good this time around. Their starters are healthy. That's the big key, is going to be health for this team. And they could still add another back. I don't know if you're aware, but the Angels cut like four starters today. And so that's on the waiver wire. So that's stuff that contenders can go pick up now. So, and a guy that was on that roster last year for Brewers, Hunter Renfro, somebody I circled that I'm interested to see.
Did you where say he Hunter goes. Renfro?
Yes.
The baseball player named Hunter Renfro?
Yes. Correct. Okay. Well, continue.
I know you're
I'm like, what?
Yes. So I'm circling that guy. He's a big hitter there, and they could use some bats still. But I mean, there's a few guys off that Angels roster that I'm just curious now. Like, that's three guys that contenders could get. So, but I like their chances this year if they can continue the momentum.
All right. So that's where Tanner was at last week. Jason JD to my left. How you doing, man?
I've never felt better, man. You know, this is it's the end of sober month, and so it's probably one of the best days of my life because I can have a little Corona, or, you know, maybe like a sissy drink of some sort. I don't know.
You got to ease it back in a little bit.
Yeah, so you got to go slow.
You don't really want to go back in full fledged like you were before. You got to slowly work your way back in if you're going to have a couple drinks. So, what are you sipping on today?
Maker's Mark.
Oh yeah, boom, boom, easy peasy, baby.
And before that was
low ABV.
The way I ease back into it is with Imperial Stouts, but it was only an 8%er. So that's how you got to ease back in.
That's the low stuff. Yeah, anything lower than that might as well be water.
Yeah, ease in with the sissy drinks, and then you can go hardcore eventually.
Yeah, that's right. Tanner, you got some Waterloo sparkling water going on.
Sparkling water, keeping it light.
And I got a Gatorade Zero. So. I'm being a good boy, of course, until this weekend, as you guys all know out there. So, anyways, just excited to be here at the moment with the full-on group right here. But we have a lot to talk about today. Obviously, we got Chiefs news, Chiefs opinions going on right now. We are going to have a full-fledged PPR mock draft for you guys here in the back half of the show, so stay tuned. Here in the next 30 minutes, we'll be getting into that for a bit. We'll be using Sleeper, your favorite draft app, right, Tanner?
It's one of the easiest, tell you that much.
Gotcha.
Way easier than a lot of the stuff we use.
Looking forward to it. We're not going to be using our true draft picks, by the way. We will just be diving in, and because we have our draft coming up Sunday night.
Correct.
And we don't want to give away anything that's going to tell the other.
Again, there's nothing to give away because we have keepers and we have traded draft picks. So what you think might go on in this draft, it's not going to matter come our draft. So just remember that.
Not wrong. Not wrong at all. All right, guys. So obviously the final 53-man roster is now set right now at the moment. Yesterday was cuts, had to be taken down from 90 to 53 all in one gosh darn day. And the Chiefs got some things done. Not only did they get some things done, but they made some maneuvering along the way in the form of trades and just picking up other guys who other teams had maybe dropped off, thinking that they would, you know, go nowhere. We did see, obviously, that we are at the point right now where Chris Jones is no longer a Chief at the moment. He's been placed on the reserved, did not report list He's not a part of the 53 right now. So the Chiefs went ahead and made a trade with the, of all teams, Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah.
For Neil Harris, former LSU defensive tackle, the guy that I liked a lot. Or sorry, Neil Farrell.
There we go.
My bad. No, I don't know why I said Harris.
I mean, you're talking about Darius Harris, who got cut by the Raiders. Darius Harris?
Oh, I think that's where I was coming from.
Yeah, he got cut. So
Neil Farrell from LSU, defensive tackle, well known as a run stopper. He's a guy I liked quite a bit last year in the draft. Raiders took him in the fourth round. Chiefs gave up a sixth round to grab him on and add him to the roster, but then put Danny Shelton onto the practice squad.
Correct.
So it's kind of a good maneuver there to get a guy who has a similar skill set, but a lot younger, to be a part of this roster right now. But guys, just looking at what we saw overall with the cuts, I mean, we have some surprises in mind. I mean, we go down the list and some of the waived players, Joshua Kando was one of the guys the Chiefs gave up on. The Chiefs basically said at this point,
he's on the practice squad, I'm pretty sure. Right?
Nope.
Did he not make it?
We went ahead and said, you know, good luck somewhere else.
Missed that.
So okay. Joshua Kando will be off the roster going forward.
I think the big one for me is Shane Buechele. And we've essentially, I wish I had Beach's part of that from the press conference, but he said this is a departure.
That's a departure for Shane Buechele. I'm a little surprised too, because he's been a developmental prospect as a backup quarterback for the Chiefs. I didn't think he was all that bad in preseason. He had a couple of mistakes, but we saw some flashes of good to play.
You got
to
remember too what we did last year, right? Going into week, 14, 15? Arizona, when Kyler Murray went down, Arizona wanted to sign Shane Buechele. The Chiefs decided to sign him to the active roster to protect him from being going over to Arizona. And then you cut him in the offseason after a pretty good preseason performance. So that's, I think that's just the interesting part for me on the offensive side.
At the end of the day, it has a lot to do with Patrick Mahomes and who he is. And this, the way the team feels about, you know, right now we're content. There's no issue with letting that guy go. Cause obviously the whole goal is to keep him healthy all year long. Not to worry about backups or worry about Blaine Gabbert coming in. You hope he plays zero snaps all year long until maybe week 18. You know, that'd be your only time. So the couple of surprises right now for me was LaMichael Perine. I thought that was an interesting one for sure. Just seeing how he played in the preseason, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire making the roster over him. That one shocked me just a little bit, but he did make the practice squad. So he's part of the team right now, part of the roster at the moment. Otherwise, Austin Ryder came back for a practice squad as well.
I was kind of surprised to see him cut.
Yep. So anyways, guys, anything that you've seen over the past 24 hours that surprised you?
I mean, I think for me, it's the fact that we're only carrying three running backs. I mean, if I'm a general manager, I can never have enough running backs, right? Because guys get injured. It's kind of a physical, brutal position, and guys get hurt all the time. So I would have preferred that they carry four running backs. And I'm with you. I was surprised that they cut LaMichael Perine and kept CEH. I understand why they did it, because you've got guys like, you know, CEH and Justin Watson. They have experience with the offense. They know the playbook. So I understand why they did it, but I feel like Perine did enough for me to earn a roster spot. And I would have liked to have seen a few more running back, you know, at least one more running back on the roster.
Yeah, the only thing I'll add to what you said about the running backs there and carrying three, obviously the Chiefs kept seven wide receivers this year for the first time in Andy Reid's tenure as a Chief. Now, obviously that's for good reasoning. We have an awesome plethora of receivers right now on this roster, and I'm glad with every single one of those guys we kept. Obviously, we traded away Amir Smith-Marset to the Panthers, who is now the slot receiver behind Adam Thielen. So he's going to have himself a little shot out there in Carolina with a rookie quarterback if he ever gets a chance to come on up and get some playing time. On this current roster, though, he just wasn't going to get it. But my point is, the reason Chiefs might keep three running backs, if we have this attitude across the league that, you know, running backs are a dime a dozen, we're not going to pay you, you're not worth anything, then same can be said for keeping too many on a roster at the same time, is that, you know, why carry four when we know we can just grab a guy off the street, or grab a Kareem Hunt who's sitting there, haven't signed anybody yet, and just throw him out there, and you're going to get the same production as you might get from your RB2. And so that's the only thing I would say in reference to that, is that the way we treat running backs right now is that, the you know, they're all the same, but at the same time, we need more depth. We need more depth, but you can't go both ways.
I think that would be great. I mean, you in theory, you could grab a guy like Kareem Hunt, except for the fact that that's not going to happen because the Chiefs organization is holding a grudge against him. But I do understand your point.
I mean, I get it, but I'm not concerned about three running backs on the roster. You had two in the practice squad. Call up either one. If anybody gets hurt, not a worry. Not a worry.
Generic Prince is sitting there. So, of course, if an injury was to happen to anybody at that point, Prince can come right up and be part of the roster.
D-Ryan and Prince are sitting right there in the practice squad.
Absolutely.
You're okay. And that's what the practice squads are used for.
Are you surprised like by the Chiefs keeping, you know, defensively here, Cam Jones, undrafted free agent from Indiana?
I am, actually.
I mean, this guy obviously made his name well-known within the team to go out there and keep a guy like him on the roster, guy that really was not talked about hardly at all throughout the preseason or training camp for that matter. And we already have an awesome linebacking group.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you kept Jack Cochran as well.
Of course, Cochran's a great special teamer, which Cam Jones will be too.
Will be too. Yeah.
But I mean, the linebacker right now, you got Willie Gay, of course, Nick Bolton, Leo Chenal, Drew Tranquil. Mm-hmm. I was going to think maybe five linebackers, but they really felt the need. No, we got to hold on to Cam Jones. Something special is there with this guy.
That's a toe move right there. That is a Dave Tobe. Hey, you know, we got somebody that can play a little bit both ways, provide some depth behind everybody too. Like you said, Chenal kind of got banged up a little bit on the final preseason game. So, you know, that was going to surprise the move to see Cochran and Jones, but I understand where that is. B.J. Thompson is another defensive guy that, you know, a lot of people questioned going in after that pick. But he's sitting here on the roster, and he's going to be a big special teamers guy.
Well, he's going to be developmental in a lot of ways because obviously we talked about Kando being off the roster now. Mm-hmm. B.J. Thompson's basically going to be the exact same type of prospect that Kando was when he came into the league, but it looks so far like he's more natural at playing defensive end than Kando was. I think we saw Kando as just this awesome, long, lanky, tall, long arm kind of guy that can make an impact on defensive end, but never really was a true football player that could make an impact on the team on the field. I think we saw in preseason enough to where we could say, okay, we could see why B.J. Thompson can be a part of this and, you know, kind of go from there and try to develop that kind of guy because he's not going to get a lot of playing time this year, especially on your full-time starting defense. You know, just, even though we rotate guys in, he's not going to see the field much. But he's going to be one of those guys that I think maybe going into year two, the Chiefs are going to go, okay, now what are you made of now? Let's see if we can use all that, you know, athletic body build to put to good use at some point.
Right. And then the moves made today, Darius Rush, former first round or was it first round or no?
He's a fifth round pick.
There you go. Yeah. Colts defensive back. You kept Matt Dickerson off the defensive tackle, which came from Atlanta, a guy that I thought was cuttable anyways, because by the time you get some of these guys back, but yeah. I mean, kind of a why not move, but does that put any concern into Snead's health potentially going to week one?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with that. I'd be solely surprised. Brett Veach did talk today, obviously, about L'Jarius Sneed and some of the other guys right now that are battling these minor injuries. To me, I think what they saw was with Darius Rush was that they probably had him graded higher than a lot of other teams did. Mm-hmm. This guy is 6'2", 198, exact same size and build as a Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams, two guys that were drafted last year, also runs a 4.36 40-yard dash. So, I mean, you got the exact traits you want that fits the Chiefs mold. And has fit the Chiefs mold now the last few years that Brett Veach has been in office. And so to me, I just think he goes, you have an ability that we like to teach. You know, we take guys like you and mold you into what we like to do schematically. And it's going to fit in well with what Steve Spagnuolo does defensively. Now, this has a lot to do with the fact Nazi Johnson's out for the season. Yes. So the Chiefs saw a lot of potential in Nazi Johnson. And we were at the camp that he got injured, of course, during the rainstorm. When it rains, it pours, you know, and that's how it was that day for us going out there and seeing all that, which we didn't see the injury because it happened the next play inside. Once they moved indoors, which tells me that storm was bad luck. That storm had the devil written all over it because, you know, if that storm member came by, I bet he would never been injured in the first place. Just kind of the butterfly effect of how things go.
Right.
But no, Darius Rush, I'm interested to see how he works out with the team at this point. Nick Jones obviously has a finger injury right now, but it's not going to require surgery.
That's a good thing.
And so that's the thing right now the Chiefs are looking at. So there's nothing wrong with adding guys that are athletic freaks to the roster.
And Veach mentioned that he'll be adding probably in the next couple of days too. We'll probably see more changes within the roster. So, which is nothing new for Chiefs fans as we go about this phase in this point. Right. Let me ask you guys this here. Defensive side, defensive line particularly, right? You got Karlaftis, Nadi, Tershawn Wharton, Mike Dana, where you're starting right now. Yeah, Felix, Coburn, Matt Dickerson's gone, so Farrell, Hearing, Malik, BJ Thompson, as your guys is on the defensive line. You week six comes around. Charles Omenihu comes back. Chris Jones, as they comes back week one. I mean, I think we're who you letting go?
Yeah, that's a good question right there. I think one of the great things about that scenario we were talking about right now is that we can figure out who's worthy of keeping a roster spot as the year goes on, given the situation we're in, given the situation that Chris Jones might not come back till sometime midseason.
Right.
And given that we know Omenihu will come back, obviously, coming up after week six. At that point, I mean, if you're looking at BJ Thompson, that's not made an impact or anything, or, you know, just not doing anything on the field, then you could see him being demoted down to the practice squad, get another guy moved off, something like that.
I mean, even in Cam Jones.
Sure, in Cam Jones.
Get that kind of depth there.
There's options there. You don't have to remove a defensive end or defensive tackle for that matter. But at the same time, you're going to have to at some point, because right now, Chris Jones does not count towards the 53.
Yep.
Charles Omenihu does not count towards the 53. So there will be guys that are going to get demoted as the season goes on. I will say I'm excited for Charles Omenihu, though, because what I saw in preseason, this guy can play inside and out, and he's going to be
You're putting him, Farrell, and Jones together. That's kind of a nice little right. group.
I mean, he's going to be a really good player. He's awesome.
On top of Coburn, becomes anything what Saunders was towards last year, right?
Yeah. Even Saunders' first year was a little bit of a slow start. Time to develop.
So do you guys think this Neil Farrell trade, is this our vet move of the year? You know, how we always get, you know, we have Melvin Ingram and then was it Dunlap last year? This is our vet move for this defense.
I mean, how much of a vet is he? He had 12 tackles last year for the Raiders. It's not a guy you can say he's a vet experienced type of guy. I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's this guy that has a lot to prove in this league, but the Chiefs liked him so much in the draft last year that he went in the fourth round with the Raiders. Chiefs would have taken him in the round after that, absolutely. To give up a sixth round pick to go up and grab him at this point. Obviously, the Raiders don't find a need for him at this point, but in the Chiefs' mind right now, we're going into the season assuming we're going to go at least 6 to 7 weeks without Chris Jones. Why would we think anything else until something's written on paper?
Yeah.
Until a deal is done or until he shows up to play the game. You know, why would you think anything else? You got to prepare yourself for what you currently have on this roster. And that's why a move like that was made, because you need to have a run stopper on this team, and he can fit into that mold. Derek Nnadi has been on this team for a long time too. Hopefully he can step up and, you know, make some plays too. You also need pass rushers. Tershawn Wharton has been a guy in the past who can do a really good job getting pressure on the interior. So we're trying to supplement things right now on this D-line until we get our full group back to where they need to be. And once they do, it's going to be like seeing Steve Spagnuolo's defense all over again every other goddamn year, where you start slow and finish strong. I mean, that's just the way the Chiefs do things.
Fire in week four.
I can promise you right now, that's more than likely how things are going to finish out.
So if you think Omenihu is that good, then why would we not get a deal done with Chris Jones? Because I understand he wants Aaron Donald money, which is like $30 million a year. He's probably not going to get it, but that's probably what he's fighting for. And I understand that he's not Aaron Donald, so he should probably take less money than that. But if you're the Chiefs, from their perspective, if Omenihu is that good, why would you not just pay him off, pay off Chris Jones, and just, you know, just make the defense that much better?
Well, you got to think long term. I mean, if you're saying why not just give Chris Jones what he wants? It's not about that. I mean, it's not that easy. That's also, you're asking a guy who's close to turning 30 years old, I mean, to give him a long-term deal. It's going to be upwards over $30 million per year. And then you put yourself in a situation where you can no longer pay guys like that you want to keep on the offensive line. You might not be able to keep Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and Nick Bolton on this roster. You got to think long-term about that. And really, the true value of Chris Jones right now, it's probably closer to 25, 26 million, not the 30 something he's asking for. And also, what he's trying to do is capitalize on the fact he had 15 and a half sacks last year and finally got his first ever playoff sack in his entire freaking career for the first time. So he's trying to capitalize off of what an awesome year, which he had an amazing year. Of course,
he had a good year.
That's great. That's great news, Chris. We like that. We appreciate the help. At the same time, the Chiefs know at the end of the day, their common denominator, the common thing that's going to get them anywhere, it's not Chris Jones. At the end of the day, you got Patrick Mahomes. As long as you have Patrick Mahomes, we need to make sure we take everything into account going forward to protect Patrick Mahomes and to make sure we can fit everything under the salary cap.
That's fine. That's fine. We can talk about having the best quarterback in the league all we want. But when you have to put up 50 points day in, day out, is that really what you want to do?
You think Chris Jones somehow makes a difference?
Chris Jones does help control the defense a little bit to keep it under that.
He gave up 35 points to the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Congratulations. Chris Jones
played
the best team in the NFC.
Chris Jones played the entire game.
You're comparing me? You're comparing what we did in the Super Bowl to Chris Jones? Are you kidding me right now?
He makes an impact on the field, but not enough.
Impact on the field.
Not enough to then take away all the money that it would take if you're not able to pay.
You can make it work.
No, we're not playing that game.
Let's be real.
We're not playing the you can make it work game. That's
Patrick Mahomes. They keep.
Well, let me just
play the you can make it work game.
You can't.
Obviously, you can't.
This guy is a full impact. So I do have a. Veach did speak on his press conference today about Chris Jones. I do got the clip here that we can play real quick.
Communication has been, if any, with Chris recently and his people. And do you expecting him to be here in time to play against the Lions?
Yeah, I mean,
I'll have a second question. I'm sorry, Brad. I'll have a second question as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, certainly hopeful for that. You know, we have been in communication, and actually, just the last 2 days, we've been in more communication. So we're going to continue to press on and work hard, and a lot of respect on both sides of this thing. And I mean, it's been obviously well stated how we feel about Chris, and he feels the same way. So again, we're just going to keep working on this thing. And, you know, we're looking forward to next Thursday, and hopefully he's in the lineup and he's ready to go.
I'm wondering what your communication.
Just listening to that. I don't think shit's going to happen. I really don't. And I'm glad you brought up the quarterback situation, Tanner, because I feel like there are some parallels here between this situation and when Deshaun Watson got his deal. People were trying to compare quarterback contracts to Deshaun Watson, where that actual Deshaun Watson contract was just an anomaly. I feel like the Aaron Donald contract is an anomaly here, and people like Chris Jones should not be they should not be comparing themselves to that particular contract. And I feel like he's got his eye on that, and I feel like it's just not going to happen. Like, I don't have too much confidence after listening to that clip.
I think we're dealing with a Lamar Jackson situation where he's ultimately going to take a little less. He's not going to get everything he wants.
No, we're looking at an Orlando Brown situation. So we're looking at what kind of dumbass agent does Chris Jones have right now that's just telling him we can go sit out half the goddamn season, which means you're not going to get paid for half the goddamn season.
He said he could afford it on Twitter.
Yeah, well, you can afford it. You can afford it until you can't afford it. Here's the deal. Is that, you know, you go ahead and you miss your 8 games. That's fine. If that's what his plan is miss 8 games. Well, that also is going to lower your total money salary against the salary cap for this whole season, right?
Yep.
At that point, your franchise tag worth goes down as well. So the Chiefs go to franchise tag you next year. You ain't getting shit compared to what you want. And so good luck with that. Have fun, man. If you're this agent, if you're this Cats agency, the Cats Brothers is what they're called, and you don't have anybody, here's the problem with that, with their agency. They have nobody. And I'm sure you guys have heard about this. They have nobody on their list of players.
They've got less than
me. Worth a shit.
They've got less than me.
Chris Jones is far and away the best player they've ever worked with as a sports agency. Far and away. And they're trying to make their bag. At the end of the day, the Cats are going, shit, this is our one chance to make something happen. Let's go big or go home, baby.
So yeah, you said that. Let me give you the quick list here of who's on the Cats Brothers Sports Agency.
So think about the advice between Le'Veon Bell, I mean, who's giving advice to Chris Jones.
That's a brutal.
So your small list. It's a small list. T.Y. Hilton. Yeah, Chris Jones. Keith Kirkwood. Who? Jordan Mason, San Francisco. Brian Pringle. Chandon Sullivan, Olamide Zaccheaus.
What? It's not a very good track record if you want to know the truth. It sounds to me like good luck with that.
Sports agency is not made shit so far in their career.
Hey, he was out cleaning. Was it? He went to Gates It was like giving out food and
stuff. What if this is the little side twist? Byron Pringles who recommended him to Chris Jones.
Oh wow.
What if that's the deal at the end of the day?
What a shit.
Pringles show, the man. One that recommended cast to Chris Jones.
Oh my.
Because whenever they did their last contract in 2020, I do not believe it was the Katz brothers. I believe it was a different agency at that time. And Chris Jones now going into his third contract, it's going to look a little different.
I got pissed when you first brought up Le'Veon Bell. But I mean, now that you've said that, like, I'm scared shitless, man. Like, they're going to ruin this guy's fucking career.
They will.
They're going to ruin his fucking
career. We got some comments out here. Scott Cobb, of course, hopping in. The Chiefs will need to score at least 30 a game to win games this year. Look at some of the offenses.
It's a little extreme. This is not as bad as the 04, 03, 02 Chiefs defense. Come on.
No, it's not. There's relax. Still guys there.
We have Patrick Mahomes. Let's relax a little bit.
Dave says you can't turn this into a Rams and live in cap hell as Donald did for a guy turning 30 when his next contract comes up. Fair enough there. Bell became $14 million forward due to his following his own advice. And he mentioned it too. He regretted it.
And I think Brett Veach is one of those guys. You know, he took over for John Dorsey. John Dorsey at the time got a lot of shit for giving out bad contracts. I mean, we paid Justin Houston, right? Yep. A big old deal, didn't we? Justin Houston, after that point, right down the shitter. I mean, I'm saying based off of what he did the previous year.
Correct.
He had 22 and a half goddamn sacks. And so, you know, he basically tied the record of Michael Strahan. And then wanted a big deal after that. We paid him. Well, going forward after that, he never hit double digits again for the Chiefs or anybody else for that matter. And so it's nothing against Justin Houston. It's just the matter of the business, the matter of, you know, making the smart choices. And Chris Jones is one of those guys right now. He's 29 right now, about to turn 30 coming up this next season. Brett Veach is looking at this going, I don't want to be the idiot GM who keeps tying us up in all these issues when it comes to cap structuring and handing out these huge ass contracts. At the end of the day, you want to have a diverse team that's well balanced across the board. You're not overpaying for this one big piece on defense as if he's going to save you from 30 points a game, as if we have not given that up with him on the field, guys. Come on.
Basically,
let's wake up a little bit.
He's looking at it and he's saying, I don't want to be Jerry Jones, where I give Ezekiel Elliott a shitload of money and then I fuck myself in the ass.
But that's one. This is one area of Brett Veach being a GM of the Chiefs that I will give him a lot of credit, is that he has been very careful with his contracts. Yes, MVS is getting paid a high number, but we needed to have a receiver on the team at that point. We had to make a move. But there's certain, you know, he's one of those guys that going into your third season, he's not going to want to pay you. The Patriots weren't that way either. The Patriots knew what they had in Tom Brady. At the end of the day, Bill Belichick was aware of that, is that, hey, we don't really give a shit about all these guys that want these big contracts. And, you know, Richard Seymour is over here begging for a bunch of money.
Fuck no.
Well, then we'll just trade your ass over to the Raiders. Have fun over there. We're not paying your ass. We're going to go ahead and draft and develop all these defensive guys around you, which is exactly why the Chiefs
spend five of seven
draft picks on defense every goddamn year.
Bill Belichick would rather have a left-footed punter than to pay a bunch of fucking bullshit money to somebody that doesn't fucking deserve it.
Hire an Australian punter who's just left-footed and put him out there, and that's what we're going to do.
Are we taking into account at all that we're talking about possibly the best defensive tackle in football right now? Are we taking any effect?
And let me go ahead and say that to you right now, Tanner.
He's an older player.
What did I talk about?
He's 29.
Tanner, what did I talk about?
23 forever.
Hey. 29. Think about that in football years. We're not in the NBA, Tanner.
I had my awakening two or three weeks ago, guys, right here on the show. I told you guys about it. I said, you asked me about Chris Jones. And I said, I finally have a different feeling about this whole situation. And I told you, screw the big contract. Screw the 5-year deal he wants. We're under contract for this exact season right now, right?
Yeah.
So we can go ahead and we're going to keep you on the team. Absolutely. You can get out there after week 8 if you want to. That's totally fine. When this season's over and you put up 6 sacks and that's all you got to show for it, we'll go ahead and franchise tag your ass. You know, then what you going to do? At that point, we can get value out of you, you know, in a form of obviously picking up extra draft capital and so on. Or you can sign your little dick contract now and take your loss on your money because you wanted to be a baby all year.
And I think
you're not worth what you did in 2022 when you put up 15 and a half sacks. If you gave me 6 sacks this year.
I think the temptation here, if you're a Chiefs fan, is to, you know, think about it. Like, would you rather go for that third championship ring, or would you rather, if you've got Mahomes on your team, you don't care about number 3. you're looking at number 4, 5, 6, seven.
Isn't Jones part of that core though? Like, we've considered him part of the core.
Tanner, he was a part of the core for the first two rings.
Was Tyreek Hill part of the core?
No.
We don't give a shit. Yeah, actually, he was part of the core at one point.
He was part
of the core.
That's fine.
We don't give a shit about the core. You know who's part of the core now, Tanner? Nick Bolton's part of the core.
He is.
You know who else is part of the core? Some of these awesome corners we have right now. Trent McDuffie is going to be part of the core.
Sneed
right now is part of the core. Over McDuffie. All I'm saying is we have a core right now that you're ignoring. Worried about Chris Jones so much, it doesn't matter.
My point is, would you rather go all in just to get that third ring, or would you rather do what Mike is saying and look towards the future? Because if Mahomes is on your team, you don't want to win three fucking rings. You want to win 5, 6, seven. You're looking for the fucking future.
And here's the great thing. You can win anyway. You don't need to have Chris Jones to win. We're not the Chicago Bears. We don't need to have the number one defense in the league to have a chance.
But it sure helps
Give me the defense number 15. That's all I need.
And the worst case scenario is that you're going to punt this year. And, oh, boo-hoo, we're going to win a playoff game and not win a Super Bowl. Like, that would be just, like, the worst thing of all time. If you win a damn playoff game because you couldn't get a deal done with Chris Jones. And now we're going to,
we're not going to win a Super Bowl.
Look towards the fucking future. I agree with this motherfucker over here.
Yeah. The roster set up for
Stop putting your defense in one basket, Tanner. The roster
set up for it.
For what?
Set up for what? Attainment for Chris Jones. This was the whole point. Are you kidding
me? Tell me. I want to hear you talk. Go ahead.
MVS is the most expensive receiver, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Juwan Taylor is now the most expensive lineman.
Sure.
Okay. Kelce, team friendly. Mahomes has been team friendly. Not worried about running backs because we'll just replace them anyways. Anybody else in the defense that's going to get that is big pay? Justin Reed. Justin Reed's your highest paid defensive person. Why don't we have the money for Chris Jones? It doesn't have to be 30.
Tanner,
a 5-year, $30 million deal.
He's getting paid this year. He's going to get paid next year.
I'm in.
If he plays on the franchise tag, he's going to get paid next year too.
Tanner,
it doesn't matter.
Lock him up.
Here's my
set.
You
got
to think about the future of what you want your defense to look like.
I want Chris Jones in it.
You give him $30 million a year.
I want Chris Jones.
Have fun. Have fun figuring it out.
It'll figure it out. It'll be okay.
We're not playing the figure it out game.
You act like the salary cap's so big.
Be smart.
So here's the biggest problem. The biggest problem that I have with your argument, Tanner, is the fact that you just said Chris Jones is 29 years old. You just made his argument for him because you're thinking of this like this is the NBA. And in the NBA, you're right. Guys are in their prime at age 29. That shit doesn't fucking happen in the NFL.
Are you saying now he's a scrub? Are we just saying he's a bum?
Fuck no, he's not a scrub. He's already peaked. He's fucking peaked.
No, he's right. At his
peak. You can't think about this.
Going down.
And then 31 is when he goes down.
You can't think about this like the NBA. Oh, it's a 29-year-old.
Like he has one good year. He's trending up.
No, he's not trending up.
A player has more than one good year.
Aaron Donald had 22 sacks in a season. That's why he deserves what he got paid. Even at 30-something years old. Chris Jones, 15 and a half is the most he's ever gotten, most he ever will get in one season. And so it'll never happen again. I'm not paying your ass $32 million a year for the next 5 years to be putting up, you know, 9 sacks, 9.5 sacks, like he had been doing every other goddamn year.
I'm not saying pay him 30, but I'm saying let's pay him the 27, here's
the
deal. 28.
The 49ers right now have a disagreement right now with Nick Bosa, right? Nick Bosa wants to get a new contract. It was a big one, right? He wants to be paid somewhere around the $30 million mark, right? Right? He's 25 years old. That's an edge rusher that deserves a contract that's that range.
I think we can still make something.
Chris Jones.
We can still get Jones.
As an interior defensive lineman that's proven 2 years ago, we can't be a full-time outside pass rusher.
So we're saying
not deserve $30 million a year.
Here, the defensive tackles are the running backs of the equation.
No.
Is that
it's
what
not the
saying?
Same thing.
Well, then I'm lost here.
That's not the same thing at all. Like old. No. Old defensive tackles are the running backs it's when they've already peaked.
Now, here's the thing. There is positional value that takes into account. Absolutely. Positional value takes into account. I'm not saying defensive tackles are invaluable.
We're sitting here trusting Nottie but and Morton and Coburn and Farrell.
No. But I'm not for the future, you're not. You're trusting him for right now. We want to think about the future. Okay? I care about the future.
Right.
Like that's how
he's
sold.
Let's not handicap ourselves over a defensive tackle who's begging for more money than he's worth.
So let's
to get locked into a long-term
I
deal.
Just think
when
I,
we have the advantage as a team
again. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but I think Tanner has the NBA mentality where he thinks these guys are going to fucking play forever.
No,
and they're not.
Give me.
They're going to start. They're going to start to trend
years.
Down.
That's what it'll be. Give me. Okay, let me. Who has more leverage? Who has more leverage after 3 weeks?
If Chiefs do.
0-3.
Tanner, we're not going to be
0-3. Who has more leverage?
The Chiefs.
Still the Chiefs.
Chiefs.
The Chiefs have more leverage if they go 0-3 because they have Patrick Mahomes on their fucking team and they only care about the future.
That's all I'm asking.
Freaking 0-3. What's wrong with you?
I don't think we will.
Oh, you're getting scared. I can see it in your eyes.
I'm a little worried about our
I can see the games. Fear in your eyes.
Hey, bet the over on the Chiefs game if Chris Jones is in. I can tell you that much. Because they're going to have to freaking slant it down the field.
Good Lord. I can't.
I just hope that he doesn't devalue himself. When he shows up in week 7, week 8, or whenever the fuck he's going to show up, because he's not going to be in football shape. So at that point, you've devalued yourself for your next contract, whether it's with the Chiefs or somebody else.
You know, we can remember back when the Chiefs played the Titans a few years ago, and we had Mike Pinnell on the defense. And when Mike Pinnell was on the defense on the interior, he was our top run-stopping defensive tackle. And it didn't matter if Chris Jones was there or not. We stuffed Derrick Henry in the games that mattered.
Chris Jones or Pat Mahomes is like what 6-2 with Chris Jones on the field. So
yes.
I don't know. Maybe it'll work out.
Tanner, you are putting too much emphasis on this one particular defensive player.
Just when we talk about,
as if he's the end all be all of everything we ever
when you
have
been. The best defensive tackle
this
in
is,
your hand.
This is not Derek Thomas.
When you have the best defensive tackle in your hand.
No, I just think
this is not a Derek Thomas situation, Tanner.
The bottom line for me is we need to get away from this mentality where, as a Chiefs fan, if we don't win the Super Bowl this year, my life is over. My life is coming to an end. Right. You've got to get away from that fucking mentality and think about the future.
So are we just
because you're going to have fucking Mahomes for who knows how long?
So are we
next
just
12 years up? At least.
Yeah, 12 fucking
one
years.
Year without the Super Bowl? No, I want Super Bowl every year. It's expectation.
Okay, well, you put all your eggs in one basket with Chris Jones. Guess what?
Super Bowl.
Your future is now fucked.
No, it's not.
Yes, it will be.
It's not.
Well, you can no longer pay your Snead, Nick Bolton, all those other
guys. Guess what?
Have fun with your defensive tackle. Woo!
Guess what? 2 years ago, you didn't even make it to the fucking Super Bowl. How did that fucking work out? Worked
Snead's
out pretty well,
want?
Didn't it? The following year, you won the fucking
gonna
Super
be like,
Bowl.
Yeah, give me 5 years, $2 million.
All I can say is, you know, good luck keeping the guys around him whenever he's the only freaking piece you have on your whole team.
I want to get younger. That's what I'm about. I want to get younger.
And you know what we can do to get younger, Jason? We can take Chris Jones and shove him up front of their team's ass and get a first-round pick out of him. Or second, whatever.
I'll take a second.
Give me a draft pick who's a 22-year-old beast.
Yeah.
And we'll develop his ass.
And then,
half
then you might have, then you're going to have some money left over to pay a guy like Trey Smith or Humphrey.
Keep him around.
That's how this fucking shit works.
How it works. You don't overpay for these bastards, Tanner.
Okay.
It's a Patriot way.
So you would rather get rid of, just say, fuck Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey.
I stated it on the Let's Talk Sports show. The Chiefs defense has to be a top 11 this year.
Why?
To be able to win the division.
No.
To win the division?
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Fuck no.
We can't be bottom 20. We can't be bottom 20.
You can be top 20.
Bottom 10 is what I meant.
You can be top 20. You don't need to be top 11. You can be top 22.
What are you scared of, Tanner? You're scared of the Raiders?
No, I'm scared of getting in the side.
In the division. They're going to be top 11 to win the division.
We could collapse pretty quick without a defense rush. So I don't trust Felix.
What team are you afraid of?
It'd be the Chargers, I guess.
You're afraid of the Chargers.
But we still win.
Every freaking year, everyone's scared. The Chargers are going to finally win the West.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, guys. Without a defensive rush, our secondary sophomores are going to look like scrubs. And our linebackers are just going to have to sit there and pretend to pass.
Apparently, without Chris Jones, you can't get a pass rush at all.
You can't.
It doesn't exist.
I guess
it's not in camp. There was nothing.
Steve Spagnuolo could not figure it out, apparently.
All right.
I'm not going all in for 1 year just to try to win a Super Bowl. You know why? Because the Rams fucking did that shit.
Not going in all
now,
year.
You tell me how the fucking
player.
Tell me how the Rams
one
look
player.
Right now. The Rams look like
one
shit.
Player.
Yes,
you're not. You're not buying six.
The Rams are
going to
win five.
$30 million.
Rams are going to win five games, Tanner.
I am not
five games.
Six players for $30 million plus is what you bought on the Rams. You're paying
Tanner,
one player.
Look at me with a straight face, Tanner, and tell me that you're going to go all in for 1 year like the Rams and then be shitty.
No, you're
the rest
not.
Of your fucking.
You're
life.
Not going to go all in. What are you talking about? You act like we got Jalen Ramsey on the hook. We got
because you're gonna get a shitty contract on the books
Patrick
for who
Kertan,
knows how long.
Junior, like, what, dude? It's so dumb.
All the dead cap money.
Look,
can't wait for all the dead cap money.
I want to make Tanner the GM of the Chiefs.
Year three, this contract.
Let's just fire
cap out the ass.
I want to fire Brett Beach and make Tanner the GM of the Chiefs and see how many.
So
fucking,
confusing.
How no. I want to see how many half dozen or dozen shitty ass fucking contracts can I get on the book?
Tanner's sentimental.
If that motherfucker right there is the GM for the Chiefs.
You got to keep that.
That's a great fucking. I want to do that fucking shit right there.
I'm just still confused here. Why are we mentioning the Rams? We don't have six superstars.
I'm just saying that's the debate.
That's not the debate.
Do you want to all in? Do you want to go all in for Patrick Mahomes' third ring?
Oh,
or do you want to look at the future where we could potentially get four or five or
and
six?
Here's the thing.
There's
rings.
No debate.
Guys. My whole point there's is no that debate. We can still have Chris
that's
Jones.
The debate.
Chris Jones' prime is this year and next year. And after that, it's going to be about over, right?
That's if you're lucky.
We have the rights to Chris Jones.
It may not be 2 years.
We have the rights to Chris Jones for this year while he's 29, next year while he's 30 if we want, or we could trade him away at his peak.
I'm not feeling the two-year kid.
What would be the point?
We'll have to deal with
what would be the point in having him on under contract if he was 34?
I think he's already peaked, and you're lucky if he gets you one more solid year.
Wow.
Because that's how it works in the NFL.
Wow.
Players get old faster than they do.
I'll go with Chris Jones this year.
I respect you because you and I go back and forth on this NBA shit.
NBA related.
The NFL guys get older much faster than they do in the NBA. So it's a completely different mindset.
Yep.
I had nothing else. I'm not going to talk to you.
Think of it this way, Tanner. I just saw Richard Sherman.
Oh, God. Like,
do you think Richard Sherman is an old bum?
Yeah.
He is sitting across from Skip Bayless now. That's how fast
he's
guys get old.
He's past the age of 32.
Listen to me. This is how fast.
Chris Jones wants a contract until he's 34.
Perfect.
This is how fast.
Make it team friendly in the back end.
This is how fast players get old in the NFL. Shermanator, part of the Legion of Boom, is now sitting across from Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
Old bum. Okay. I want you to rethink that Chris Jones shit. He's going to be out of the league in five years. Five fucking years. Well, he's going to be out of the league.
He's not going to be out of the league. Carlos Dunlap.
He might be the league, but they'll give you three sacks. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a three-sack season for Chris Jones.
Sell high, Tanner. I'm going to give you some investment advice. I don't care if you're talking about cryptocurrency. I don't care if you're talking about NFL, NBA, fucking gambling, whatever the fuck. I want you to sell high. You want to sell high.
Right.
Chris Jones has a fuckload of value
right now.
Here we
go. Okay. Sure.
Get rid of the fucker.
Right here. Scott asks real quick here. Tanner, let me ask those guys of Mahomes. So it's for 350, four touchdowns, and lose the game by giving up 38 points. These two will still sit there that we don't need Jones.
We saw that in 2018 and 2019. Guess what? We won the Super Bowl after that in 2019. 2018, this team, what did we finish with 12 wins that season?
Just saying.
Yeah, we're just fine.
Okay.
And Patrick Mahomes is fully capable as well.
So do we not want Chris Jones at all this season?
I never said that.
Just asking. I'm asking JP.
So, okay.
I've already told you guys what I want to do.
I know what you want to do. I know what you want to do.
So here's JG. The answer. Here's the answer. I know what you want me to say. You want me to say, like, Mike, get rid of the fucker. I'm not going to say that. Here's the correct answer. I will keep him for $27.5 million. Nothing more. Okay.
That's
the number.
I like that.
And you guys know I'm a numbers guy. It's $27.5 million. I'm not giving him fucking Aaron Donald money. That shit's not going to happen.
You mean the 1 year Aaron Donald money?
Dude, everybody in the world knows. Everybody in the world knows it's not going to fucking happen. So let's just be honest here. Here's your 27 and a half, maybe 28 million if you're lucky. Take it or leave it. If you leave it, get the fuck out. Thank you for your help with our fucking Super Bowl rings and all that bullshit. But peace.
Right. And here's the thing. The Chiefs know that. Patriots knew that back with Tom Brady, too. When they let Richard Seymour walk away.
Yeah.
And traded his ass to the Raiders right before the season began, which I'm not saying we should do that. But they capitalized on his value at that time. They got a first-round pick out of a 29-year-old Richard Seymour.
Hey, man. And if I give him $27.5 million right now, if I'm Chris Jones, dude, you should take that as a compliment. All right? That's your value. You are worth it. We will give you every penny. But stop. You get, first of all, get rid of these fucking agents.
Oh yeah,
what the fuck they're talking about?
They're morons.
They're gonna screw you over, dude.
That big time.
Well, they already are.
They screwed him over. But that's the number. And just take it, man. That's a lot of money. I understand the government takes half. We all get that, right? You're only gonna take home
those 13. Agents aren't losing a dime.
$5 million, right?
Of Chris Jones right now.
It's all
Chris Jones losing money right now. Those agents, brothers, lose nothing. Shit. On that.
Oh yeah.
They only have something to gain. And yet his ass is listening to him.
And
Dave also mentioned Richard Sherman sucked the last 2 years before he retired anyway. So
I'm just saying,
just to add that in there.
Don't, you know, these guys are, people think we're talking about a lot of money. Uncle Sam takes half of that bullshit. Okay. So it's not as much as you think it is.
And
you get to a point and you're in Chris Jones's shoes and you're giving away game checks every single fucking week for 7 or 8 weeks. Like it's worse than it sounds, guys, mm-hmm. because half of those fucking paychecks go to the government. And so I hope they do. We'll sign the deal for $27.5 million.
Or
your boy JG,
just show up,
put the official number out there. 27.5. Yes. I'm a buyer on that shit.
For 5 or 4. Mm-hmm. Or is that a whole different argument?
That's a different, I mean,
there's a horse piece.
I'm just going for per year. I'm not going to give him 5 years. Fuck no, I'm not doing that shit. But that's not even an argument.
Yeah, I'm not interested at all. Hey, really.
Honestly, if somebody wants to give him 5 for $29 million, like if the Bears want to do that shit, fuck them. More power to you.
Was that sign and trade?
Or more power to you.
It's not sign and trade. It's just a trade.
The Bears. Have all the fucking cap space. That's why I thought they should sign Jonathan Taylor.
Well, what,
but
what,
maybe
what,
they want Chris
trade
Jones.
And extend is what it would
trade
be,
extent
would be for the Bears, but.
The Bears have a lot of fucking cap space.
I'm in favor of keeping him this year and letting him rot if he wants to, and go
let him rot.
Sit at your games, lose your money like a moron, and you come back and get your 6 sacks to finish out the season. Probably get 0 once again in the playoffs like you normally do, and then go to the offseason, and then your value now all of a sudden is dog shit. Quinnen Williams now makes more than you do, you bum.
Yeah. I mean, fuck me. This is a bad situation because if he sits out until week 7, week 8, and comes back out of shape. And injures his cock, like I'm gonna feel so sorry for the guy. I'm gonna feel bad for the. I'm gonna feel bad for
his choice.
No, it was his fucking dipshit agent's choice.
You can't make your own goddamn choices as a person.
You can.
Yes, but your agent helps direct you in certain directions. I get that.
A lot of these agents,
unless he's just a total dumbass, you make your own choices, man.
I agree with you, but a lot of these agents are con artists, and when they con you into being a part of their team, this is the type of shit that you have to put up with. And so I'm going to feel sorry for Chris Jones if he shows up out of football shape, injures his cock, all on behalf of these fucking dipshit agents that he signed up with.
And football shape, we just mean by hitting, right? Not showing up Zeke fat or anything.
No.
Just the hitting aspect.
No. You can be in perfect shape.
Yeah, there's.
That's what I'm saying. Like football shapes, like coming in and
football shape is different than just being like, cardio is
like, we're not talking about like
amazing
Zeke
right now
coming in or anything like that.
No, I'm not talking about fat ass Zeke.
I don't think any of us think Chris Jones is like a fat ass right now. Anything.
That's why I'll make sure. I'm just making sure
you can be in pristine condition.
Yeah.
Okay? You can do your own conditioning. It does not matter. It is not football. Correct. It is nowhere near football shape.
I know plenty of guys that run every day that pop in Achilles at the second they walked up on the field in an actual game.
And you can do that shit in basketball to a certain extent, but you can't do that shit in football.
Well, Scott wants us to bring back the towel argument about whether or not you, how often you...
You know, I've been rotating it.
Okay.
So here's
I went 2 weeks without watching mine.
Hot damn.
The bottom line is, when you're on this show, you have to practice what you preach, right? So I was making up a bunch of bullshit when we first had this conversation, but then I just wanted to do kind of an experiment and see, well, you know, what would happen if I started rotating this shit, never washed it. So we take baths and showers pretty much every fucking day. I've been on a rotation, my wife and I, of 2 towels for about a week and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel the need to wash them. Like they're still white. And by the way,
white towels.
I use, they're white towels, dude. That's a part of the experiment. one of them I got from, I like to steal towels when I go to Las Vegas. So like you to collect towels from the different hotels.
Toilet paper, not towels.
No, fuck that.
You take towels?
No, because they're embroidered. You go to Vegas, they put the
the
casino is embroidered on the towel. So my wife and I, we like to steal that shit. Anyway, that's a different story. But they're both white towels, and I'm going on a week and a half. We never washed either one of those fucking towels. They're still white as shit. They don't smell. And that's my whole point of that discussion was like, if you're clean, right, you use soap, you're clean when you get out of the shower or bath or what have you, that towel's never going to fucking get dirty. And so, yeah, I'm going on 2 weeks, never wash those fucking towels.
How are you
I feel amazing, man. Hey,
how are you handing it up? That's what I want to know, right? Because a lot of times you got to be worried about mold.
Never on top. So I got two towels. I don't hang them on top of each other. So that you got to hang it separately. Otherwise, you trap moisture in there, and that's where the mold starts to grow.
Is it like this, though? Like you're putting it up like this?
Oh, it doesn't fucking matter. Doesn't fucking matter. Like I've got one on a rack, and then the other one's hanging over the shower.
Okay.
But they get a chance to dry out, right? So you get 24 hours to dry out, and there's no mildew. There's no mold. Everybody's happy. I didn't get the vid, right? I didn't get COVID from my fucking towel. So, and I didn't get an infection, I didn't get gonorrhea or what have you. I don't have any sexually transmitted diseases. I feel amazing. In fact, I'm 46 years old. I've never felt better in my life. Meanwhile, these fucking towels have been sitting there rotting for 2 fucking weeks. And I feel like I'm starting a movement in this country. I'm starting a movement in the United States of America. Don't fucking wash your towels
now,
every fucking day.
At one point,
do that fucking bullshit.
Banning certain stoves in America now. Now, what do you think about, how about you come out with something here on the news pretty soon where people need to start telling you need to start reusing your towel at least 3 times minimum to, reduce the, just the usage of too much washer dryer usage. It's going to over time help the environment at some point.
So here's the most important thing I can give to you guys right now. As you know, I am an ESG guy. I believe in the environment beyond a shadow of a doubt. The best way that you can support the environment and not have to watch all these fucking hurricanes that are on TV. I was watching it today. There's hurricanes all over the place. The best way that you can affect the environment right now is to just reduce the amount of,
water
times.
Consumption?
Well, it's water consumption, but you got to throw the towels in the dryer.
Oh yeah.
Right. So you're using electricity.
You put hanging outside on a clip?
All that shit. You should hang dry everything, man. Hang dry everything. So I want to reduce, electricity use, all this fucking water, fossil fuels, all that shit, because that's the best way that you can reduce all these fucking hurricanes that we're seeing on TV right now. And I was literally like, it was difficult for me to prep for this show. Because I saw all these hurricanes and it made me sad.
Yeah.
Because I was like, why don't people take the environment seriously? And but I'm glad you brought this up, this shit about the washing of the towels. Don't wash your fucking towels, man. Don't do it.
Dave says, as long as you're not flossing your ass with it, you're good.
Yeah. And like, honestly, guys, when I go to Vegas, every time I go to Vegas, like they're trying to conserve water, right? Because they're in the desert.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like, if you don't need to wash your towels, just don't put them on the floor.
Right.
And so that's a big thing in Las Vegas. They don't want to wash your towels every fucking day because they know that it helps the environment. And that's what we're here for.
Right.
It's what I've always been here for on this show.
Right.
Scott says JG needs to do a TikTok video of proper towel etiquette.
We might have to, Scott. That's a loaded question. we still have a mock draft to get to, man. But JG,
Scott's going next week.
I'll give you a teaser. I'll give you a teaser with that. I'm not going to give him the full answer. I'll give you a little teaser. So wipe your balls, but not your ass with that fucking towel. That white towel? Because if you wipe your ass, it probably might turn a little bit brown.
So you've been to Vegas not too long ago, I believe, right?
Twice a year. I go to Vegas two times a year every fucking year.
Scott's going next week. Any recommendations for him to hit next week?
I mean, it depends on what game he wants to play. I mean,
he's going for a fantasy football draft or some kind of fantasy football thing.
Which casino would be my next question? Or where? What location? I suppose because There's a lot going on out there.
There's sports books everywhere. I mean, if you're not into the table games or slots and all that shit, just find the best sports book out there. I mean, Mandalay Bay was traditionally, dating all the way back to the 90s, was the best sports book. I was there a couple of months ago, and it's amazing. I do like the sports book at Mandalay Bay, but nowadays you go to Vegas, you can find a great sports book anywhere.
Oh yeah. He says Caesars MGM is where he's going to be between those two, which those are two different areas.
Check out Mandalay Bay just because it's kind of like you feel like you have your own private room there in the sports book, but it's fucking gigantic. It's amazing.
I always forget like each one, like where they're located at, and like, I don't know. There's just too many of them to
I almost fell asleep at Mandalay Bay sitting in the sports book, like just because it was so peaceful in there. And
yeah,
you know, I made so much fucking money on the trip. I was like, man, I just want to fall asleep at Mandalay Bay. Yeah. And my hotel was right next door to it. If you're in Vegas, man, the most important thing you do is just enjoy life, man. Just enjoy your fucking life, because that's one of the greatest cities on earth.
I want to have a day bed while I watch my favorite, you know, NFL game.
Give me
a day bed while I'm watching an NFL
game. Day beds. Okay. You definitely want to go to Mandalay Bay because you're going to get a day bed by their 11 or 12 swimming pools, or however the fuck many swimming pools they have now. That's where I stayed a couple of months ago. I stayed at Mandalay Bay in the Delano. And they've got like 12 swimming pools out there, and a stadium wave pool seating, and a lazy river, and you know, a giant fucking sports book. I mean, that's where you want to go for the day bed, because you can just sit out by the pool. They've got the fucking day beds next to the fucking swimming
pool. You normally don't go to the north end of this trip as much, but Circa has stadium seating in their sports book, which is pretty cool. It's one giant ass screen. I don't know how many feet tall it is, but
Circus?
No, not Circus. Circa is what this is called.
Okay.
So I know you don't normally go to that area, that end of the strip, I suppose. But it's a stadium seating sports book. It's just one humongous, or multiple humongous screens. And it just goes up and
you got
to pay to be there, though. You got to pay to have a seat.
So I have nothing to say about the Circa. It could be amazing. I will tell you one place on the north end to stay away from. That is Resorts World. I heard that they put that building up so incredibly fast that it's already starting to fall apart. Like, remember that? You guys remember the when the Rams were playing in St. Louis, you remember that fucking stadium was out there? Yeah. They never did a remodel, and it fell apart in like 12 years. That's the Resorts World. They built it too fast, and it's only been there for like, 3 years? And the rooms are already starting to fall apart.
Mm.
So stay away from that Resorts World. It's a shit show.
I walked through there last time, but I don't know. I don't have much of an opinion on the rooms or anything, obviously, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but it did pop up fast.
Go to Vegas.
It did pop up fast.
Vegas is fucking amazing, man. Just fucking play cards, man.
One of these days, Tanner will make it, but he'll probably be 85 years old.
We'll figure it out.
So, all right, guys.
Good hour, guys.
Well, we got to fit in our mock draft.
You got to do the mock.
So hour number two.
Exactly. We're making up for last week, I guess. So obviously, you guys know we have our fantasy draft coming up this weekend. So we're looking forward to that. We have to also give you some insight as we go down the list here. We're using Sleeper. If you guys have not used the Sleeper app, go ahead and give that a quick download. It's super easy for mock drafts, as well as just up-to-date information, player by player. If you guys use any other app, I mean, that's fine too. But Sleeper seems to be Tanner's favorite, right?
It's easiest to use and easiest to share amongst streams as well. So
yeah. So we're picking in our spots. We already have randomized our selections.
There you go, Scott.
I am picking third overall. Tanner is picking 10th overall. And then Jason is picking
the 1.6,
number 6 overall, which is all different from what we're picking in our real draft coming up this weekend. But regardless, that leaves us room to actually pick who we like, I'd say.
Yeah.
So
this is, again, this has nothing to do with the Buffoons draft, because it's not, all these guys aren't going to be where we're picking them at now.
Yeah. So basically, we have to be honest here. Like, because we're not like gearing up for our actual draft.
This,
like, we
isn't Cam Akers pick at pick 3.
Right.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did that last year because we thought it was like a fake draft.
We thought it was a fake draft. Tanner didn't tell us the truth.
Then your boy JG had to pick Cam Akers, which was my least favorite player in the entire draft. But I won't do that to you guys again, I promise.
All right. So then, Tanner, you have control of the draft, right?
Yeah. So you guys ready?
When you say start, we're going to begin our mock draft.
So just real quick here, I'll bring it up for everybody to see. Team, the roster we are filling is a quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, a tight end, a wide receiver, tight end flex, a wide receiver, tight end flex, and three bench spots is all we're going to do today. So that's the roster we're filling. And yeah, I know if Hunter was here and Brand, they would definitely pick Sean Clifford in this draft. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get the show going. Start the draft in 3, 2, 1.
McCaffrey off the board first, followed by Justin Jefferson. For me, this is an easy choice. I mean, I like Jamar Chase there. I know what I'm going to get out of the guy. So for me, I forgot how to pick on this damn app, Tanner. All right. Oh, it says draft right there. You gotta press the draft button.
You might try it. I don't know.
That's why we're the buffoons. All right, Jamar Chase is my pick.
All right, so we are at 1.6 here, and that's a difficult decision. So we've got Kelce or Tyreek Hill. Both guys are a little bit advanced in age.
The PPR.
So, yeah, I mean, I've got to go Kelce, man. I know they're both like older guys at their position, but I just feel like Tyreek Hill is going to pull a hammy. Travis Kelce, no. This is the thing I love about Kelce. Never fucking gets injured. Knock on wood.
Right, I'm going to make your pick soon.
I'm going to take, yeah, that's the fucking app. All right, I took Kelce because I just trust him to be healthy.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was gonna argue thinking about that, but the health factor makes an impact.
Do you think Tyreek's big talk on the 2,000 yards this season?
He says that every year.
Yeah, it's all about Waddle, man. Waddle's younger, man. So I love Waddle.
Okay. So I'm up at 10. Here we got Diggs, Chubb, Lamb, Brown, and Mahomes. Here is your top five. For me, I think this guy's going to get plenty of targets, and he's going to be, I just think he's going to be part of the offense again. So I'm going to go Diggs. I think it's the right answer in this one. So we got the turn here. Come back. Chubb's, Lamb, St. Brown, Adams, Went. Back to me here. I can go Mahomes here. I can go Wilson, Henry, Jacobs, or Brown. I'm going to go AJ Brown here. I have not had luck with him on any of my fantasy teams in the
past. I realized he's stupid.
So we're going to do it.
I was watching a YouTube video of him. Is he really? With this guy. He's like dumb. AJ Brown is like a dumbass.
Actually dumb.
Like he's stupid. Oh, no. I'm not trying to be funny. Like he's a smart legit, guy.
Just,
I know. But, I didn't realize this until I was watching a certain video on YouTube of him.
But is he really dumb or does he pretend to be dumb? Because we know a lot of people that pretend to be dumb.
I'll just show you guys that he's with Destroying. Do you guys know who Destroying is? Tanner, do you know Destroying?
The YouTube guy? Destroying.
He was on with Destroying, like on for the whole thing.
Oh.
AJ Brown is just dumb. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not the smartest guy in the world.
You know what?
Football smart then? Is he like one of the
He's got to be football smart.
I mean, he's obviously. In some ways, but
he's got to be football smart.
I didn't mean to be judgmental about that, but he's not very smart.
I'm on the clock here. We just talked about, I actually have 20 seconds. Just talked about Tyreek Hill versus Jalen Waddle. I'm going to take Waddle.
There we go.
So I've got Kelce and Waddle to start out this draft.
All right. We got some interesting ones here. Right now, my current all looking at Garrett Wilson, Jonathan Taylor, Hurts, Chris Olave, Andrews Higgins. So this is interesting. Jonathan Taylor obviously going to miss the first few games, so we're not going that route, even though I could look for, you know, more the long term on that if I wanted. But guys, I mean, we're going in with Garrett Wilson right here because you got Aaron Rodgers, and you know you're going to be putting up 90 something catches for probably 1400 yards. Give me that Garrett Wilson.
All right, you got the turn coming back to Mike here. Third round pick.
Which, funny enough, Jonathan Taylor is still on the board. Baby. Still on the board. You guys know I love JT, but
gonna miss four fucking games.
Do you love him that much?
He's already out four games, and we don't know where he's gonna end up either, if he gets traded or not.
He's going to Miami. Bank on that shit.
But you guys know how I am. You know I'm RB0 all the time.
That's RB0, baby.
That's what I do with my time in my life, is RB0 every gosh darn time.
Oh, he's going Devontae Smith, I guarantee you. Watch this shit. Devontae Smith. Do it.
Anyway, we got DK Metcalf, Calvin Ridley, T. Higgins, if I wanted to double up on the Bengals receivers. Fuck it. I'll take Devontae Smith.
You did it, man.
He says he doesn't think JT will play at all this year.
I know. I'm a little worried about it. I don't know what's going to happen with JT, so that's why I'm not going that route. I went three receivers in a row, so I'm set on receiver.
All right. So, yeah, I'm at 3.6 right now. I've got a tight end and Kelsey and a wide receiver. Pretty much at this point have to get started at the running back position. I'm going to go with Travis Etienne. I definitely want a piece of that Jacksonville Jaguars offense. Oh. So give me some
Etienne. It's like 8 games to accrue this year for free agency. So if he doesn't do it.
Oh, then the contract is void.
Yeah.
At that point.
Okay, we're coming back to me here. I got a couple options here. I got Jackson, Burrow, Gibbs, Ridley, and Mixon, and Breece to look upon here. I'm going to go ahead and go Ridley in this situation. See what comes back around. Piece of crap. We got Breece Hall, Keenan Allen, Aaron Jones, Kenneth Walker, and Cooper in this play as well. Kind of looking around just to see what's out there as I'm in the 10th spot. Here, I am going to go ahead and go my first running back. I am going to go Jones over Breece Hall. Just on the trust factor. And he's going to get a lot of targets.
So I feel like I need to get another running back. So I've got Damian Pierce sitting there. So do I want to get my second running back or do I want to go best player on the board? It's tempting to go with Justin Fields or Justin Herbert, but I've got to practice what I preach here, which is to not fuck with the quarterbacks early. So Damian Pierce is probably the best running back on the board at this point, and I'm at 4.7, so I'm going to take Damian Pierce.
Interesting. All right, heading up to Mike.
All right, guys. I love where I'm at right now on this draft. I mean, looking at what I got my receivers taken care of for a while. I don't have to worry about them for a bit. Quarterbacks-wise, I see a guy right now that's going to throw over 5,000 yards. So I'm going to go ahead and take
Justin Fields?
Justin Herbert off the board right now.
He got me.
He is a 5,000-yard passing quarterback this year.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Coming back to Mike.
Coming back around, I might as well take a look at the running backs right now. Miles Sanders to Carolina, hell no, I'm not interested. J.K. Dobbins, don't trust him right now at the moment. Madison, Swift, Kamara, hell no. I don't like any of them, guys.
They suck.
I'm not in the mood for dealing with so much question mark because like it's just a bunch of nonsense to me. I like some of the guys. I like to wait for some of these guys down the board. And we have a flex spot, guys, on this draft, of course. So flex meaning you can play receiver or running back. So when I'm looking at the board, we got a Terry McLaurin, Jerry Jeudy. Oh, no.
Jeudy sucks.
I'm taking me a DJ Moore who's going to get all the targets over there for the Bears.
All right, we're up to JG.
All right, guys. So I told you my strategy. You've got to let the quarterbacks fall. But in this particular case, I am not going to let the quarterback fall because I got Trevor Lawrence sitting right here. So in most cases, yeah, you want to get your quarterback late, but Trevor Lawrence is going to fucking explode this year. So I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence at the 5.6.
Which, by the way, in our league is my keeper. That is free. Free, by the way.
So yeah, I'm trying to get some updated news here on Jeudy. I think he asked. It's no go on, so you'll not go on short-term injury reserve, which is a good thing.
I would be wary of that.
Still, the whole hamstring issue.
I would be wary of that, man.
Concerns the hell out of me here.
Nah.
Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and go a different route here. We're going to go Swift into this mix here. Back to me. Got a few other options. Iukes out there.
We got Cam Akers. Cam Akers is sitting out there, Tanner.
I think we're going to go ahead and go grab our guy that should be. I mean, this is a steal at this point. So let's grab him, George Pickens.
Whoa, there it goes. Mr. George Pickens. Love it.
Jeudy is out still 1 to 2 more weeks at least. Okay.
My next pick is going to be delicious.
So what do we got?
I can't wait.
Best player on the board. Are you looking at Darren Waller, Alvin Kamara? You guys are not going to bait me into taking Cam Akers 2 years in a row on this fucking show. I tell you what, man, I think I'm going to go, I've only got one receiver right now. I'm going to go Tyler Lockett because their rookie that they got over there is a little bit banged up.
Yeah.
DK Metcalf, probably not going to do shit. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Tyler Lockett there.
All right, as you guys can see, I have no running backs right now at the moment.
No running backs. Holy shit.
I'm upset. I'm upset Pacheco went off the board.
You're
just
getting
now.
Passed.
I did not like Pacheco going off the board.
Cam Akers.
That made me
you
a little
Cam
upset
Akers.
About that part.
Take a fucking running back.
I really wanted Pacheco on that last option there. Now I'm looking over what I got. Not taking Cam Akers. Dalvin Cook's tempting, but I'm not interested in that. Montgomery, I do like. James Cook, I like.
Javonte.
Why are we not interested in Dalvin Cook? Is he stuck now or what?
No, it's just the split backfield with Breece Hall.
You do understand that Dalvin Cook was the, you remember that song by Izzo? The new man on the Minnesota Vikings. Remember that song? That was actually Dalvin Cook.
That was.
All right.
I'm going to. Scott says, JG, give you a case of beer if you take Akers and a set of towels.
Ooh, Scott, dude. That's tempting. That's tempting. You know, I probably would have done that about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, but not now.
All right. We go.
Grabbed Waller on that one. He's going to be the top target for the Giants. We saw Richie James get all the targets last year. Waller being their top target now is going to be the move.
All right. So, gosh, what am I at here? I'm at the 7.6. My boy James Cook is on the board. Well, that's a no-brainer.
Go with James, thing goes James off.
Cook. Blow up this year.
Jackson Smith, Njigba.
Njigba.
See, I learned.
Njigba.
See, I normally would go Ingram here, but Jason decided to steal my quarterback, so I don't have that complimentary.
Yeah, honestly, Njigba is the guy that injured his cock, and that's why I took Tyler Lockett a little bit sooner than I normally would.
Have you ever had a fractured cock? Because, I mean, it takes time to heal, but once you're back in action, you can go all night.
I'm going
to
go ahead and go.
Yeah. It numbs it up a little, You're fine again.
So I got my two flex out of the way here. Let's see here. Look at my roster.
Mike, quick. I think it's the thing that makes your cock perform faster once you break it is ivermectin. Is that not true?
Oh,
that's what I heard.
Yeah.
The horse. Well, is that horse semen or is it horse food or something to do with horses?
You just inject it straight into your scrotum.
Okay. So the ivermectin cures a broken cock.
It can. Absolutely. Yeah. Try it out.
Think
you gotta do it internally.
Here's a tough one.
Well, I've never had a broken cock, and hopefully I don't.
I think I'm gonna go ahead and
I'll think about it. If I ever have break my cock, I'm gonna think about the ivermectin.
So we're gonna go Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers here. That's big. So now I've already got a bench player.
All right, dude. So I'm pretty much set. Like, I've got three running backs, two receivers. I got Kelsey. I'm pretty much just looking for the best player available here. So, what do we got? What do we want to do here? We're in a full point PPR. I'm going to go ahead and take at the 8.7 Antonio Gibson.
I had a feeling, Scott.
So I got four fucking running backs.
All right.
Two wide receivers.
I won, Allen.
Quarterback and a tight end. Fuck him.
I am happy with this. So Gibson went off the board, which you took him. I'll take Brian Robinson because why would I not?
And guys,
split backfield there.
You got to keep an eye on this shit because in my mocks that I've been doing, nobody drafts. Nobody drafts these running backs from the Washington football team.
No, they don't.
They've been falling to like the 10th, 11th, 12th round, what have you. You got to be prepared for that shit. Because one of them or both of them might fucking blow up.
Right.
All right. Now I'm looking down the board running backs right now. I've told you guys in the past how I think Bijan is not going to put up the numbers he's projected to put up right now this coming season.
He did.
But on this certain situation, I'll take a risk. I have to take a risk going when you go zero RB, you got to take a risk.
You're going all the way down?
No, I'm not going all the way down. I'm going Rashad Penny.
Ooh, that's a risk.
Because it is a risk.
That's a risk.
It is a big risk, guys. I understand it's a big risk. It's not my favorite pick I've ever made, but I mean,
He was third on the depth chart the other day.
I'm saying let's give it some time.
All right, guys. So I've got two receivers and four running backs. So I am going to go ahead and take at the 9.6 my third wide receiver. Elijah Moore of the Cleveland Browns.
Good pick.
You know, Deshaun Watson explodes this year. That's probably where all the fucking balls are going to, or Elijah Moore.
All right, we got to get some running backs in this. So let's go ahead and go out. Let's grab Cousins. Just turn around. Come back my way here. Samaje is going to get a lot of work done.
The piss ant.
The piss ant.
Yeah, he probably will.
All right. What do we got?
JD's on the
what
board.
Do we got? What do we got? Ooh, we're getting late here.
What's this wreck flex on here?
Let's see. 40 seconds. All right. Not a whole lot to choose from here. Fuck it. Man, let's just get another. I've got so many fucking running backs, but who cares? Fucking take Damian Harris, Buffalo Bills. Somebody's got to score some fucking touchdowns besides
I like Harris.
Josh Allen, James Cook. So I actually ended up with James Cook and Damian Harris, which
that's an interesting combo.
That's not an issue for me at the 10.7.
It's a handcuff though, right?
Yeah, it's 10.7, so I don't give a shit. Just draft whoever you want at that point.
All right, we got Mike on the board here.
All right, so as you guys know, when you go RB0, you want to load up on a lot of these running backs. They're going to be down the board. The backup running backs, you're kind of waiting for an injury to possibly happen and so forth. That's kind of how that thing works. McKinnon's on the board. We got Eli Mitchell on the board. Bixby, Mostert, Allgeier, Warren. Warren right now is one of the top options for Steelers as a potential as this season. So I'm going to go that route. And so kind of when you do RB0, you want to alternate your running backs.
You're back on the clock.
Play the matchups. All right, back up, going back to the receivers again, of course. We got to grab another one. So here you want to grab one that's kind of high risk, high reward. That's what you want to think about. You get a Justin Ross if you wanted to.
You're going deep.
Pierce, you go a Mechie. Sky Moore's on there, Bateman. I think because this is PPR, I'm going to go Sky Moore. Assuming he is targeted much more than he was a year ago.
Oh, yeah, definitely. JG is up.
All right, so we're getting down to a bunch of scrubs down here, man. Bunch of fucking scrubs. Let's see. I'm at the 11.6.
I know, right? Me too.
I tell you why this is foreign territory to me, because I don't have any fucking picks past the 9th round this year, so I haven't even studied this shit. you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take.
Well, you should, because some of these guys are going to be,
you know what,
in our top 9.
Give me fucking Daniel Jones. Give me a backup quarterback. I mean, Brian Daboll, my fucking hero with that fucking offense over there.
All right, I'm going off here. All right, come back around. You're kidding me. Laporta went right before Goff. What a.
Laporta's a stud, man.
B.
Laporta is going to blow up this year.
There's another guy, a couple guys.
Take Mostert, dude.
Where's going to go the Dolchik?
Dolchik. All right. What do we got here?
JG.
We're in the last round. Okay.
Yeah.
So I should probably get, you know what? I probably need a backup tight end, even though I have Kelsey. So let's, take a look at what the LA Chargers are doing over there and take Gerald Everett, assuming that Justin Herbert explodes this year like we all expect him to do. He likes to throw it in the tight end.
All right, I'll take my backup quarterback here. I think this is fine. Man, I could go a couple different routes. I mean, never mind. We're going to go Tyler Allgeier.
Good pick.
Thousand yard back last
Scott,
year.
Scott so. And I were talking about him just now. There's one back left.
If I truly believe Bijan won't be what he was, what he's expected to be, then I need to go Allgeier.
Okay, let's highlight our teams here real quick here. Mike out here with the Chase Wilson Smith combo, Herbert, DJ Moore, Montgomery, Waller, Robinson, Penny, Warren, and Allgeier and Sky Moore. How do you feel about that?
It's not my favorite draft I've ever done by any means. I mean, going that traditional RB0 can be hard sometimes. I was really upset about Pacheco being picked right two spots in front of me.
Yes.
Because that was going to be my plan all along. I had to go with Montgomery instead in that spot. So my running back is going to be an issue in this case. And I'm going to spend the entire season worrying about that. But the good news is my receivers are set in stone and I know who to start every single week.
I like it. JG, We'll pull yours up next here. Kelce, Waddle, Etienne, Pierce, Lawrence, Lockett, Cook, Gibson, Moore, Harris, Jones, and Everett. Now, interesting take here. You're sitting with three receivers and six running, one, two, three, four, five running backs, two QBs, and two tight ends.
Yeah, I feel like this was a great exercise for me personally, because we all know that this is not how my real draft is going to pan out. But it's good to be able to see, you know, what does my team look like if I just really want to take the best player available, which is what you should always do, guys out there. Don't overthink your shit. Like, you're already prepared for your draft position, or you should be, which I am. But in this particular case, completely different draft position, and I'm okay with it. Like, obviously, full point PPR, I do not want to end up with three fucking wide receivers. Like, that's bullshit. If I was prepping for this, you know, as my actual draft, I might do it a little bit differently. But you know, I like, it's a good little fucking team there. Now, like, it's a good little fucking team.
To your credit here, your running backs outside of Damien Harris, you do got PPR capable running backs in that too. That are going to get a lot of work from the
backfield. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so, you got fucking ETN. So
it's not like it was completely awful or anything.
Yeah, they're all going to be fucking catching passes. But, like, I feel like I'm a little bit uncomfortable on the fact that it's a little bit running back heavy draft here.
Yeah.
Like, which I would never want to do that. I would at least want to have one more stud wide receiver in this scenario.
Got it. We'll take a look at my team here. I went Diggs, Brown, and Ridley. I went Jones and Swift after that. Pickens, Dotson, Flowers, Kirk Cousins, Samaje, Goff, and Dolchik into that play. What are you guys thinking?
Interesting. Yeah, no, I like it overall. Like, this is, in my opinion, a pretty good team to work with, because from going forward at this point, you just want to kind of massage the roster running backs along the way and figure out, you know, you guys probably know I'm not a big DeAndre Swift fan by any means.
Correct.
But I like Aaron Jones. I mean, he's a good player, of course. P. Ryan will get a lot of work. I like that, being a late round pick there. But the receiver is really what stands out to me, of course. I mean, you have the number one receiver of four different teams right there in your top four. So the top target for the Steelers, and in my opinion, this year will be George Pickens. Mm-hmm. After that, you got Calvin Ridley, who'll be the top target for the Jaguars. Top target for the Eagles, AJ Brown, and Stephon Diggs. If you got WR1s across the board on their respective teams, I mean, that's a great place to start for where I like to, you know, create my team. At this point, what I would do, Tanner, if I was you, keep watching the tight end market, see who's kind of jumping out and making a name for himself, but also the running back situation. Wait for injuries, because you know they're coming, baby. When you get 250 touches a season, you're going to get beat up. You're going to get injured. You're going to start increasing your workload or whatever. You're gonna miss a few weeks, so you're gonna watch that running back waiver wire and start being ready to pluck guys off of there than plug them in. So yeah. No, I like this team.
Let me tell you what I like about Tanner's team. I mean, yeah, the tight end position sucks, but guess what, guys? In fantasy, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, we don't care about tight ends in fantasy. So, like, although I don't like his tight ends, I like the fact that he went quarterback late.
Tight end one. Very end.
Dolchik. Yeah.
That's all I get.
No, I know. Yeah. I understand that, but that's pretty shitty.
I want a Laporta.
But you want, but honestly, guys, like, you have to get comfortable with the fact that you have shitty tight end, because the tight ends don't matter in fantasy. So that's my point. But I like the fact that you took your quarterbacks late. You got Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, those guys, you can kind of play matchups there. You always want to, you know, go late on quarterbacks, and then you just fucking load it up on receivers and running backs, dude. That's almost like, I wouldn't call it a perfect draft, but, you know, like, that would be, if I had to put a percentage on it, that's in the top 80th percentile of drafts right there, because you load it up on the positions that matter. You waited on quarterback and you didn't give a fuck about tight end. Which is, you know, if you're not getting Kelce, then you shouldn't give a fuck about tight ends in your draft.
If we could somehow just replace, in my opinion, Swift with Pacheco, and that be your running backs, Jones, Pacheco, and then from there on, everything else is the same, like, that would be awesome.
Oh, did Pacheco go after that?
He went after that.
He did go after that. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I totally agree with that. It's kind of a thing where, do you think DeAndre Swift is going to be healthy or not? And if he is, then yeah, I mean, I can make a case for DeAndre Swift over Pacheco.
I'll take Pacheco over Swift personally.
Yes. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. That was a great fucking draft.
Appreciate it. Hey, that was a fun one. Scott says, Tanner forgot to tell you guys, so you just dropped the Buffoons leak. Whatever. Don't get them started. Scott says, I would not have taken Penny and would have taken any other back.
That's the thing. And what Scott said there, our draft on Sunday is going to be so weird and wacky. We never know what's going to happen. So, like,
that's for you, Hunter.
We're going to walk into this thing and it's going to be a mess.
And that's the thing that you have to be prepared for at all times is, do you have a dipshit in your draft? Do you have multiple dipshits drafting with you?
You have to be
prepared for that fucking shit.
At least two.
And if you're not prepared for it, then you're probably going to get fucked in the ass.
Well, all right then. I thought Gay Pride Month was in June.
It was, but I've got, you know, it's spilling over into these latter months of the year.
All right.
It happens.
All right. Well, I'm glad we were able to fit that in there for a bit, guys. This episode ran a little long, but we owed you one.
It's actually no more than normal.
No, it is a little more than it's hour 25. All right,
it's like 10 minutes longer.
15. Well, no, we try to do an hour normally. Well, we missed a show last week for the first time in quite a while, actually.
We did
miss a show. All of us were up to something, especially you two. But, you know, we're back again. We're hopefully back and here to stay throughout the whole NFL goddamn season, because I don't like it when we miss shows at all.
Am I going to be able to bully you guys to make our draft go live this Sunday?
Oh, people don't want to see us go live on Sunday. Like in the real draft?
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to put it on the screen?
Well, like I'll have the board up.
It's going to take 2 hours.
I'll have the board up, right? Oh, you'd be surprised.
No one wants to see us do a 2-hour real draft of our league.
Mike, you would be surprised on how long certain people watch fantasy drafts. So like I'd put the board up just like I did. And then I'd have a little tiny screen of, because I'm going to be right here drafting. And then I'll put our little party we have together. I don't know. Wow. Maybe I can bully you on it. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like our buffoon league is going to be a little bit of a mess, but
most important thing is that we did not do an easy money bet segment this week. I want to get back to that next week.
We are back on it next week.
Yeah,
it is next.
That's the most important thing.
True. You can do. Week one. Could be back.
Week easy one. Money. When this is where we count how much fucking money we have, which, you know, if you want to make easy money on this fucking show, we do an easy money bet segment every fucking week, except this week, because we have more important things to do.
Well, right. There's but nothing bring really going on. Next so next week is our easy money.
Well, you could have bet on ping pong. Isn't that still going on, Tanner?
Yeah.
I bet on ping pong. What was it? 8-12 weeks ago. I had a free bet. I had a free bet on DraftKings and I put it on ping pong.
Speaking of which, I got a free
bet. Now I lost my fucking ass, but that's neither here nor there. The most important thing is that I had a great time doing it.
We try to be smart bettors around here and
make fucking money.
All decisions are always the best.
I appreciate you, Jason. You reminded me of my college football bet.
Make some fucking money. That's what we're about on this.
Tanner's got a free college football bet that he's doing right now. So that's what's going on at the moment. So. Anyways, guys, I'm just glad you guys all hung out with us for a while and got to see us rant about Chris Jones and the Chiefs and obviously our mock draft. Not the most ideal mock draft from my end. JG probably could take a few things back. Mm-hmm. Tanner seemed to like his overall. I liked it. So
Tanner's was pretty good.
But here's the thing. In the real draft we have here cut this weekend, you got all the picks, so you should have no problem at all.
Yes, I am basically going all in. I'm going all in for one season, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
You want an easy bunny bet? Go bet the spread on Florida Gators. Cam Rising is not playing, unlikely to start. That means that's trouble for Utah.
All right, then.
Is that Todd Reising? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Todd Reising?
Yeah. Bet a grand on that shit, man.
That's why we don't talk about college football on this show.
Well, guess what? Easy Money Bets is coming back. Tanner's college football
picks. As of next week. Next week, so get ready for the easy money bets.
I just bet it. Gators, spread going at it for tomorrow.
All right, guys. Well, thank you all so much for hanging out and all that. We will be back once again soon again with you guys, and I hope you all have an awesome rest of your week and weekend, because football is upon us. It's finally here. It's here. It's been a long ass wait. It still feels like it's the middle of goddamn summer all the time.
It's here.
Hot as hell outside normally. But regardless, football's here. That's what matters the most. So JG's counting his money, but I'll see y'all on his next one.
Outro.
See you guys.